Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. With Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you joined us for today's edition. Our lines are wide open for you, our listeners, and we welcome your calls right now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you're dealing with, some problem issue at home, at the office, at school, COVID-related, whatever the issue might be, let us hear from you. We'll talk it through today on Basic Gospel. Again, the number is 844-322-2742. Call now because it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Andrew Farley.
Well, thanks, Bob. Great to be with you today.
And
you know, thank you, my friend. You know, I've been reflecting on all of the loss and the mourning and the difficulty that people have had over the last year. And, you know, it took me back to the time that my dad passed away, and, you know, this was many years ago, 1998. He passed away in a car accident and Fairfax County Hospital. He was there in a coma, and, you know, pastors has tried to heal him, and that didn't happen. And sometimes, you know, we want to fix our circumstances. We want to change our circumstances.
Yeah.
And yet sometimes, Bob, it's just not in the cards. And so, you know, if you've lived more than a day on this planet, you've already figured out that sometimes there's things that are just out of our control. And so you go, all right, well, what is the answer to that? And we've heard all kinds of things over the years. We've heard the word surrender. And yet that implies, you know, that we're sort of on the other team from God and that we have to surrender to an enemy army or something. But instead, you know, what I'm seeing is that we're giving up our rights and we're releasing the situation to God. We can't control it anyway. We're offering ourselves to Him and we're not stuffing down our feelings. I mean, there's times where we just have to process. The Bible says, let your requests be made known to God. I think of Jesus in the garden, and there He is sweating blood and crying out to God, if there's a plan B, Father, if there's a plan B, please let me know. I'll take it.
Right.
And, you know, we've probably, many of us listening have, you know, found ourselves asking, is there a plan B here, Father, this last year with all of the stress and anxiety and loss and confusion? And at the end of the day, you know, the only thing we're really guaranteed is Christ Jesus Himself. And I think that that is good enough. In other words, we come to the place where we say, you know, this planet is temporary. My body is temporary. My health here now is temporary. Jesus is permanent. And He is the one that I can look to as my rock, as my stability, as my strength. And so, you know, it's not really ultimately about new circumstances. It's about new covenant truth in the midst of old circumstances.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bob, to me, that is just the anchor. Hebrews talks about an anchor for your soul. Well, our anchor is a person, Jesus Himself, and that's an unshakable, unbreakable bond we have with Him. And there is no greater hope. There is no other hope. He is our life.
That is good news, friends. And Andrew, thank you for sharing that. As we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway, we look forward to our calls from our listeners. And I tell you what, let's do, Andrew. Let's not mess around. Let's go to one right now. This is one I think you're really going to be able to sink your teeth into. Let's listen.
Okay.
Good afternoon. I have a question. A fellow Christian colleague of mine, we had a huge discussion. I would say, no, there's only one way, and the only way is through Jesus Christ. And she said, yes, I agree, but we need to respect all religions. I agree to respect, but am I to respect them all the way to hell? I need to tell them there's only one way, the true way through Jesus Christ. So how do I respond to her was like, well, but we need to respect all religions. What would be the answer?
Well, that is a great question, Bob. And, you know, you look at the scripture, it's pretty clear. Jesus Himself says, I am the way. And then He says the truth and the life. And then He very clearly says, no one comes to the Father except through Me. But wait a minute, there's Buddhism, there's Hinduism, there's New Age philosophy, there's all kinds of other options out there. So what should our attitude be? Well, you know, I think of how Paul talks about, and the New Testament talks about evangelism, be ready to give an account of the hope that is within you, but with gentleness and respect. And I think that's the ultimate answer. We can, as 1 Peter 3 says, have gentleness and respect for other people, and yet still speak the truth in love. And when you look at the New Testament, it is so clear. Acts 4 says there is salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So, you know, what's the loving thing here? Is the loving thing to hide that? Is the loving thing to dance around that? Is the loving thing to withhold that information? That's not loving. You know, if you had a lifeboat for the people in the Titanic, and you were out in that lifeboat and you could hold, 50 or 100 people, would you start screaming, "Here's a lifeboat," or would you be bashful about it and say, you know, "I don't want to disrespect, I don't want to cause any discomfort, I don't want to offend anybody, I don't want to seem like I know it all." No, of course, you would cry out, "Here's hope and here's help." And so that's what we have in Jesus. We have life, more than a lifeboat. We've got life itself in Jesus. And, you know, 1 Timothy 2 says there's one God and there's one mediator between God and men. So that's our option. He's the door. He's the gate. If you confess with your mouth that He is Lord, then you're saved. And, you know, it's very clear, what if you don't? I mean, John 3 says, whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. So what I'm saying is, we have an undeniable truth about Jesus. We want to proclaim that, and yet Peter says, do it with gentleness and respect. And be ready. You don't have to cram it down people's throats, but be ready to give an account of this beautiful hope. Man, it is so good. There's nothing better, so why not brag on Jesus?
Absolutely. Well, it was a great question and a great answer. Thank you for that, Andrew, and to this caller. I hope that you're listening and that's a help to you. If you have further questions, of course, don't hesitate to reach out again. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. We'd love to have you be a part of the live broadcast. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And for those of you who support Basic Gospel this month, we have a wonderful resource that has been helping people enter God's rest for several years now. It's called the New Covenant Journey, and this journey will take you to a place of rest, and it will equip you to live your life in Jesus Christ to the fullest extent. The New Covenant Journey, we want you to have a copy to say thank you for your gift of support for Basic Gospel in the month of March. Click donate when you visit our website, basicgospel.net. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of The New Covenant Journey. Again, please make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, Andrew, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
I'm looking to find out where it says that Moses was commanded to fashion two silver trumpets, and that only the one got blown to bring the people together, and that the other one we'd blown just before the rapture. I heard this on some show when I woke up one day, and I didn't even get the name of the show, so I don't know where it is. I've tried to go through Genesis and Exodus, and I can't find it, so I wonder if you know anything about it. My name's Scott. I'm in Central Oregon. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. Yeah, well, we go to the 10th chapter in Numbers, and right there at the first verse, we see the Lord says to Moses, make two trumpets of hammered silver and use them for calling the community together and for having the camps set out. When both are sounded, the whole community is to assemble before you at the entrance to the tent of meeting. If only one is sounded, the leaders, the heads of the clans of Israel, are to assemble before you. When a trumpet blast is sounded, the tribes camping on the east are to set out. At the sounding of a second blast, the camps on the south are to set out. The blast will be the signal for setting out, to gather the assembly, blow the trumpets, but not with the signal for setting out. And so he goes on to say that these priests, the sons of Aaron, they're supposed to blow the trumpets. And this is a lasting ordinance. It's going to be for the generations to come. He says, when you go into battle into your own land against an enemy who's oppressing you, sound a blast. Then you'll be remembered by the Lord. Also, at times of rejoicing, you're to sound the trumpets. So this is a ritual that God is instating through Moses to the people of Israel. And I think that's a really amazing thing. I mean, you think about it, why God would do this. Again, it's a way of openly celebrating Yahweh, openly celebrating God and trusting Him and saying, you know what, God brought us through walls of water. He helped us escape from the clutches of Egypt. He has been with us and walking with us, whether it was manna in the desert or a cloud to guide us. I mean, we have just been through thick and thin with this amazing God of ours. And here's yet another way that He's instructing us to trust Him and depend on Him. And so that's what this is about. Now, you know, I don't know anything about these exact trumpets having to come up later. You've got the seven trumpets in Revelation, and those are mentioned in John's vision. They're described in chapter 8. You've got the seventh seal judgment and the seven trumpets, and but I wouldn't necessarily connect what's happening in Numbers 10 with the nation of Israel to that event at the very end of the age. I think, Bob, you know, the personal takeaway in this question for us is, man, when God brings you something, it doesn't have to be fully understood. You just trust Him. I mean, we've got blood sacrifice, and we don't fully understand that. Why is it that the wages of sin is death? Why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Why did Jesus have to resurrect from the dead? I mean, we've got some understanding of all this, but at the end of the day, we just say, I believe you, Lord, and thank you, Lord. And we have that childlike faith, and I think that's what we're seeing in Numbers 10. They know that they are victorious through the Lord, and this trumpet celebration is really just another way for them to enter into a trust relationship with God and believe Him and believe that He has their best in mind.
Absolutely. Well, Scott, hope that's a help to you. Andrew, thank you for that answer. And friends, we have open lines for you, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining me. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us today. Again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. You know, Andrew, it's kind of funny how we question the way Jesus made responses to some of the questions that He was confronted with during His time on earth. And I offer this question kind of tongue-in-cheek. This is from Kirk. He says, Jesus said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. Jesus is God. Why wouldn't He just say, yes, I am?
Yeah, that's interesting. I love the rhetoric. Sometimes you look at Jesus and you see Him just entrapping people in love, but entrapping them in their own hypocrisy, in their own contradictions, confronting their own doubt, confronting their own fears. And I think this is a case where we've got a teachable moment from the Son of God. Yeah. You know, you're calling me good. Only God is good, so, hey, are you calling me God? And then I think he's sort of whispering or tongue-in-cheek, like, maybe you should be calling me God because I am God. And the other thing that we see about this, I think, is he's affirming once again the goodness of God. I mean, if you ask him for bread, is he going to give you a stone? If you ask him for a staff, is he going to give you a snake? He's a giver of good gifts. And then you say, okay, then what kind of gospel did he give? And then you say, well, what kind of heart did he give me? What kind of identity did he give me? What kind of forgiveness did he give me? God is good, and every ounce of the gospel is good. And this is just another affirmation of that, Bob, that, you know, God is the giver of good. And then if Jesus is God and he gave you your new heart, then why are we telling people they've got deceitful hearts? Why are we telling Christians they've got wicked hearts? Why are we telling people they're not totally forgiven yet. What is this good forgiveness that God has given? It's good news. It's good forgiveness. It's good gospel. And I think that we need to be going back to the root of the issue. How good is my God? And therefore, how great is this gospel?
Yes, indeed. Well, you did make a teaching moment out of Kirk's question. That was great, Andrew. Thank you for that. Once again, friends, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you, a live call here on the broadcast. So give us a call, 844-322-2742, if you're going through something at home, the office, whatever the situation might be. Maybe a Bible question. We would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. You know, YouTube videos have become an important part of what Bob Christopher and Basic Gospel offer free of charge to everyone. We take seriously the challenges facing our families and our friends in the world today, so to help everyone come to a clear understanding not only of the issues that we face in every day in life, but why we face them, well, Bob has produced literally dozens of insight-filled videos that you can access anytime in our YouTube channel on YouTube channel on Basic Gospel. Again, the most recent editions are, Can a Christian Fall from Grace? What is the gift of prophecy? Can a Christian receive the mark of the beast? And what is the judgment seat of Christ? Just four of the dozens of videos produced by Bob Christopher and Basic Gospel to help you, our listeners, live in the abundance of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you'll find them all at basicgospel.net/YouTube. That's basicgospel.net/YouTube. Well, speaking of YouTube, Andrew, we had this question that came in from our friend B. She says, so why does Paul call himself a bondservant and then tell us that we're slaves to righteousness? Is it an analogy for how we should commit ourselves to Jesus, or does it actually mean it, seeing as we are bought with the blood of Jesus Christ?
Wow, I love that. Yeah, the definition of bondservant is a person that is bound in service without wages. Now, at first, you might think, oh my goodness, that doesn't sound like any fun. Well, it doesn't sound like any fun unless Jesus is your master and you're not having to earn wages with him. And when you're a slave of righteousness, that's a pretty good thing to be connected to, harnessed to, bonded to. You're bonded to the righteous one, Jesus Christ. And so I think Paul, I mean, he says other places, you know, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. He's saying, I know too much. I mean, look at me. I've experienced Jesus on the road to Damascus. I was denying him and killing his followers, and now I've met him and I know him and he lives in me, and I'm an apostle. I'm a communicator and I love it. Woe to me if I didn't share this. I would be out of my mind not to share this gospel, given everything that I know. And so when we look at this term bondservant, you know, Paul's using it affectionately. He sees himself not only as a child of God, but a child of God on a mission.
Right.
He's a child of God with a huge heart for getting this out there, even if it costs him his life, even if he's imprisoned, even if he's stoned or beaten to death, no matter what the cost, Paul is thinking, this is worth it. And as a bondservant, as one who is bonded to Christ, not trying to earn anything through wages, but instead responding to the incredible love and grace of God, there's no better life for him. He would not choose any other thing. To live as Christ, to die as gain, it's a win-win. But to fold my arms and act like this message doesn't exist, well, that's not in the cards for this apostle. He is operating from his union with Christ and his union with the very righteous life of Jesus that lives in him.
Absolutely. Well, we love hearing from B, and B, hope you're listening right now, and that's a help to you. Andrew, a very interesting call, or actually a question, an email question from Al. He says, a brother in the church asked me for monetary help for personal evangelistic purposes, flyers, tract printing, and such, and I gave him $1,000. Instead of using it for evangelism, he bought a big screen television. Shouldn't I now apply 2 Corinthians 5:11 to him, which of course says, I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is greedy?
Yeah. Well, I think the first step, besides shunning a person right off the bat, instead we should be communicating and making certain. I would just encourage you, make certain that you've interpreted the situation correctly. Could it be that those materials were printed and that they're being used, and also he purchased this other item? I don't know. I don't know the details. Only you know, or only you can go find out. But I think, Bob, that number one, between believers, communication is key. You want to live from the heart and speak from the heart and listen from the heart. And what does 1 Corinthians 13 say? Love believes all things. So that doesn't mean we bury our heads in the sand and ignore the obvious, but it does mean that we trust the other person's identity in Christ, and we go into a conversation assuming the best. Now, look, if you've already had that conversation and it is proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is exactly what happened, that he took your money, that he swindled you, then I certainly understand why you're bringing 2 Corinthians 5 into this. I mean, you've got a situation where we're talking about the reputation of the church. And so Paul is just saying, hey, don't hang out with people that use the name of Jesus to swindle. Don't hang out with people that use the name of Jesus to take advantage of others. And these people exist. I mean, they're manipulative, they're off base, they're greedy, they're in it for themselves. And so if you are certain, upon arriving at certainty, sure, I mean, you're free in Christ. You don't have to be this guy's best friend. You don't have to hang out on the weekends. My goodness, you're free to certainly use discernment there and have as many conversations as you need to gain that certainty.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate hearing from Al. I hope that's a help to you. Well, while we were on that call, we had a call from Robert here in Texas. And, Andrew, you'll be glad to hear that he thinks you are the real deal. And I have to second that notion as well. So he just wanted to pass along that accolade, and he wants others to know that truth as well. So we appreciate so much the fact that you're with us just about every week on these airwaves. And, you know, the insights that you bring are ministering in people's lives. And, of course, that is true of Robert as well. So he just wanted you to know that.
Oh, well, Robert, thank you for saying that. It's certainly, you know, Bob and I and every communicator of the gospel, we're humans who need encouragement on a daily basis. So thank you for taking the time to encourage me. And, you know, we were talking about the scriptures, you know, woe to me. I mean, some days it seems like we all feel that, like, wow, who would I be to not share this? Who would I be to hold this back? Who would I be to not get jazzed about sharing this gospel? So, Bob, I know you know exactly what I mean. I mean, having done this for decades on end, there's nothing greater than sharing the truth that sets people free.
Indeed.
There's no worm in the apple. There's no fly in the ointment. Jesus says it's easy and light. You'll find rest, that his commands are not burdensome. So we are alleviating spiritual stress as we proclaim the finished work of Christ. And, Bob, it just doesn't get any better than this.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, and I couldn't agree more with Robert. So, again, we appreciate your input here at Basic Gospel. Well, friends, in addition to our radio broadcast, there are other ways to connect with this program every day, and you can connect online and or on our website homepage at basicgospel.net. Just watch for the red live feed link, and that will appear just before 3 p.m. daily. And at that same spot on our homepage, you'll see links to both YouTube and Facebook live video streams, those live video streams. You can also hear the daily broadcast on the Basic Gospel app. Any way you connect with us is a good way, and I hope that you're listening. If you're listening right now and you call with any question or concern, you can do that overnight at 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. If there's something you'd like us to talk about on tomorrow's broadcast, well, leave us a voicemail at that number, 844-322-2742. And please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program, and we ask your support this month with your prayers and with your gifts. And when you make your gift, well, we'll have a copy of a rich resource for you. It's called The New Covenant Journey, written to help you live your life in Jesus Christ to the fullest, written by Bob Christopher, and he wants you to have a copy of it. So be sure to request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and as always, our thanks to Andrew for being with us today. I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.